For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Glory to God. Let's open in prayer and come around the Word of God with expectancy in our hearts. Expectancy, expecting God to do things and to work in our midst. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your precious Word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the work of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ that covers the whole man, spirit, soul and body. We praise you, Lord, for that. And we give you all the glory and we magnify you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want you to do tonight is allow the Word of God to come into your heart. The Bible says that God's words are health to all your flesh. Health to all your flesh. And you know, you can be healed even as you're sitting in a congregation with expectant opening of your heart in a believing way. Tonight we're looking at the Lord that healeth, the Lord that healeth. God wants his people strong and healthy and healed. That's the truth of the matter. And over the years, I have seen the Lord manifest himself as people approach the Word of God in belief and allow it to do that work within them that God wants it to do, that is, for it to be health to all their flesh. Look first of all at Exodus 15, 22 to 27. So tonight, as I said, let the Word of God speak to you, let your heart be open, and let that Word, as you believe it, as you understand it with your heart is open, and with your heart, the Bible says, man believeth. So that's where your believing power is going to come into play. Exodus 15. Now, even if we've seen these over and over again, we need to take the Word of God and eat it, so to speak. Eat it spiritually. Allow it to be a part of us. And, you know, if you're a person that's been in the Lord for a long period of time, you'll know that the Word of God just develops in depth and strength and beauty and preciousness. You'll understand that, which is of course, different when you're first born again. You have no idea just how much treasure is in the Word of God. Exodus 15, starting from verse 22, and of Exodus 15, and it says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them." You know, there's a test that'll come to you. Are you going to believe the Word? Are you going to believe the goodness of God? Or are you going to be a person that murmurs against God? There's a lot of people that blame God for things which are not God's fault. It's usually because of barriers in their life or things that have stopped them believing the Word of God. The Bible talks about, in the parable of the sower, for example, hardness, rocky ground. Talks about weeds, things that choke the Word. So these are things that can come against the Word of healing. But notice what it says in verse 26. "And said, 'If thou wilt diligently,'" it's a key word, isn't it? "'Diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Okay, why was it brought upon the Egyptians? Why was it brought upon the Egyptians except because they were under the curse? They were under the judgment, under the wrath of God. Okay, and that always brings the curse in. The people of God, if they please God by having faith, and that's what the Bible says, without God it's impossible to please him. If they please God by having faith and believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that cometh to him. So we know that if we believe that he is the Lord that healeth thee, we need to believe that. He's the Lord that healeth thee. He is the Lord that healeth me. Thee is you singular. So it's talking about you personally. Every single believer. Okay, notice what it says. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Does that apply today? Indeed it does. God has not changed. God has not changed. And we have a better covenant. We have a better covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ, by whose stripes ye were healed. And understand, to get away from the murmuring and blaming that people often do, and they try to say, well, God doesn't heal and he hasn't healed me and so on. We need to magnify the healer, not the sickness. Magnify the healer, magnify God. And we won't turn to it, but that's in Psalm 34, verse 3. You magnify God, the healer, not the sickness. And you believe the word, that he is the Lord that heals you. Say, and you say it out loud. You say, thank you, Lord. You give praise to him. Say, thank you, Lord, you are the God that heals me. That heals me. You're healing me. You've healed me. And you'll do it again. And I'll keep my healing as I go into the future. Let's just touch on 1 Peter 2 verse 24 before we go into a few barriers to healing. And as you hear about these barriers, I want you to examine your heart and say, has that been a barrier in my life? It has. You say, Lord, I don't want that barrier to be in my life. And you let that word come in and you believe it. And you see, yes, there's been that barrier. I've got to deal with that barrier. I repent of that. I need to come to the Lord, come to God. And he is merciful. And he shows his healing mercy as well. We've talked a lot about that in the past. 1 Peter 2:24 looks back to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, those that don't believe in healing have to explain away verses like this. They have to explain away verses such as in Psalm 103, which says he healeth all our diseases. We can say that personally. He healeth all my diseases. Okay, he healeth. He is the healer. He is the healer. It's not a fantasy. And we should not approach the word of God as though it's a fantasy. We approach it in belief. As we approach it in belief, God makes himself known to us. But he'll hide himself from those that refuse to believe. He'll hide himself from those who don't want to come to the Lord. And if we read 1 Peter 2:24, it says, talk about Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed, with the stripes of the whip marks upon him. Okay? By whose stripes ye were healed. So as those whip marks went upon him, you can say, the sickness, infirmity came to him as well. He was made a curse, the Bible tells us. Made a curse for us. And Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And the curse of the law has sickness and infirmity in it. You only have to read, for example, Deuteronomy 28 to know that. So we have to be understanding of what this is about. Some people say, well, isn't that just spiritual healing? No, it's spirit, soul, and body. Okay. Christ has done a full work. We have a better covenant. He's done a full work so that we can live in divine health and healing and strength. He is our strength. Glory to God. Let's have a look at some barriers now. Have a look at Hebrews 3, verses 12 to 15. First of all, Hebrews 3, 12 to 15. Well, we saw just a few moments ago in Exodus 15 about people who were murmuring. Now, Moses went to the Lord for the solution, and you saw that. But it seems quite remarkable that people who have seen great miracles and great things happen are still murmuring and complaining. You know, I would say that all of us can point to great things that the Lord has done in our life. All of us. And if we give thanks to the Lord and praise Him and are full of gratitude, you know, that type of heart, rather than a murmuring, complaining type of heart, that type of heart, a soft heart rather than a hard heart, will open up the things of God for us and to us. So we're looking at Hebrews 3, 12 to 15. Hebrews 3, 12 to 15, starting from verse 12. Take heed, brethren. Who's he talking to? Brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is talking to Christians. To Christians. Not talking to non-Christians. It's talking to Christians. To take heed. Take heed, why? What does it say here? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So rather than coming to God, unbelief causes you to depart from God. We don't want that, particularly if you're in need of healing and strength. You want to come to the healer, not depart from the healer. You see what I'm saying? So unbelief is a big barrier. And you know how to get away from that? That is saying, I choose to believe. I choose by faith to believe. You may not be able to work it out with your head, but if you say, I choose to believe, look, there's many people that are saying, I choose not to believe. It's right across the globe at the moment. But he's saying, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you. Does that mean that this could happen? That you could have an evil heart of unbelief? Yes, he's talking to brethren here. He's giving a warning. Take heed. Because it'll cause you to depart from the living God. Verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily. Oh, how important it is to get together with believing brethren. How important it is to get together with people that believe and understand about the ways of faith and truth and the Word of God, which causes faith to come. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How important it is to be around people that exhort you to believe. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It is not okay to have a doubtful heart, particularly about the Word of God. It is not okay at all, and we'll see why in just a minute as part of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 14 says, for we are made partakers of Christ. And remember, Christ is the great healer. You want to come to Christ. You want to walk in Christ. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Is there a responsibility on our part to hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end? Yes. We have a responsibility in Christ to do this. Verse 15, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice. We read that also in Exodus 15, about diligently hearkening to God's voice. Okay? So it says, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. If you hear the word in a believing way, if you say, I choose to believe the word preached, the word taught, the word spoken, if you say that, that's going to cause you to come to the living God who is the healer, not cause you to come away. It'll also be, as we said before, right at the beginning, and you find it in Proverbs 4, that God's words are health to all your flesh. You know, you've got to put yourself in the right environment. If you only ever expose yourself to the word once or twice a week or in a very infrequent way, it makes it difficult for you to be in an environment of belief. And this is why I encourage people to make use of the abundant resources, not only through what has come through Victory Faith Centre, but there are abundant resources that people can use to build into their life habits of having the Word of God top of mind in your heart and in your life. Okay? There's plenty available for us to be able to do that. Have a look in Jesus' ministry about what happened with respect to unbelief in Mark 6. Mark 6. So, in Mark 6, we'll start from verse 1 and we'll go to verse 6 here. We see that something happened in the ministry of Jesus which caused Jesus to marvel. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Caused Jesus to marvel. Starting with verse 1 of Mark 6, it says, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Okay, so Jesus preached and taught the word of God. Okay, he taught freedom in God. He taught the king. The Bible talks about preaching the kingdom of God. He talked about and preached and taught the word of God. In other words, he's giving people opportunity to believe, to hearken to what God was saying. So he began to teach. So does that give people an opportunity to hear? Yes, it does. It's like preaching here. It gives you an opportunity to hear. And if you hear in a believing way, you can say, I choose to believe that, and the word of God can be life to all your flesh. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses, and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Okay, so you know that after Mary had Jesus, she also had other children, and it's important for us to know that. And they were offended at him. Now, think about that, offended at him. If you're offended with someone, guess what happens? You start to not want to listen to them. You don't want to hear them. You want to turn your ear away from them. And you certainly don't want to be offended with Jesus. You don't want to be offended with God, because it results in a terrible thing. Verse 4 says, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honour, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. They thought they knew him. They thought they knew about him, but obviously not. Verse 5, now notice what it says here. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them, and he marvelled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Now let me just emphasise here, it didn't say he didn't want to do a mighty work or he wasn't willing to do a mighty work. It says he could do no mighty work. What does unbelief do? It stops the power of God. It stops the healing. It stops the manifestation of God's power in people's lives. And so Christ obviously wanted to do the mighty works, but they were offended. They were resistant. They were hardening their hearts through having an unbelieving heart. They were, as it says there, in verse 6, and he marvelled because of their unbelief. Unbelief stopped the flow of God, stopped the flow of healing. What's the solution? The solution is, if you come under the word of God, you say, I choose to believe. I choose to believe. And then what you'll find is God's words will be health to all your flesh, because the words come into a believing heart like good ground, and it'll bring forth that healing as you start to believe it, as you start to believe the truth. Health to all your flesh. Glory to God. That's why you've got to expose yourself to the word constantly. Allow it to do that work in you, in your heart, and it'll come out of your mouth, obviously, and it'll manifest and have an effect on your flesh. Glory to God. Let's have a look at another barrier. So that first one, barrier number one, was unbelief. Unbelief. If you've had problems in that area, the solution is to say, I choose to believe. I choose to believe that Jesus is my healer. I choose to believe that by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, I was healed. Choose to believe that I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Glory to God. I choose to believe that God's words are health to all my flesh. And have that type of attitude right through your Christian walk, because we walk by faith, not by sight. Okay? And even people that might have pain in their body, as they take that believing attitude, then the word of God can start to work within them. You know, if you look back at the healing evangelists, you'll find that many of them will say that a lot of people were healed by just sitting in the congregation and listening to the word of God, the word of healing that was preaching, that was being preached. So the next barrier I want to look at, and there's a few, but we'll just look at a few tonight. Can't look at everything. Next barrier is unforgiveness or lack of love. Let's look at Mark 11. Mark 11, 24 to 26. Mark 11, 24 to 26. Now, this is so very important. This also, the solution to this is also a choice. It's not about feelings, you know. Let's read through it first, and then we'll talk about that. Mark 11, 24 to 26. Therefore, this is Jesus speaking, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, didn't say if, he said when you stand praying, you've got to have a prayer life. What does he say here? Forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. This represents a barrier. So prayer is very important. You might be praying for healing. You desire that. And it's one way you can get a manifestation of healing in your life. When you stand praying, though, forgive. Forgive. You might say, yes, but you don't know what that person did. God knows. God knows. And you know, the great release comes from, I choose to forgive that person by faith. I don't feel like it, but I choose to forgive them and release it to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. If you approach it like that, unforgiveness won't be a problem in your life. Because our walk of faith, is not based on feelings. It's based on the Word of God. It's not based on what people have done to us or haven't done to us. Or, well, they should have done that to me, but they didn't do it. They showed favoritism to my uncle so-and-so, but they left me out. You know, we've got to forgive. A lot of people, we don't know the whole story either. You know, God does. There can be things people do in ignorance. But listen, if you've had this problem in your life and it's gone right back into the past, and you know, I could speak of my own life as well. I've had to say, Lord, I choose to forgive them by faith. And if they've stolen from me, and some people have stolen things, I say, Lord, I give that to them by faith in Jesus' name. They can have it. Okay. So you've got to see things, as the Bible says, in a spiritual sense, a spiritual way, with spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is beyond trying to reason things out in your mind. As I said before, God knows everything. And look, our reasonings might be completely off. And not only that, we should show love in our lives, because God is love, and His love is shed abroad in our heart. It's placed in our heart. It's in there. We are no longer people that are dead in trespasses and sins. We are now new creatures in Christ. We have been changed. And so let's have a look also at Galatians 5 verse 6. Galatians 5 verse 6. Because you'll see here that if you don't approach things from love, and if you allow unforgiveness and bitterness to stay in your heart, if you don't deal with it, and it is your responsibility. It's a Christian's responsibility to make sure that this is dealt with and not allowed to fester. Okay? Because we just saw that if your prayers will be hindered, it'll be a barrier for you receiving from God if you allow these things to stay in your life. And you know, it may mean that you have to go and say sorry to someone, or you may have to go and get things right. But the thing is that you've got to get it right in your heart and get it right out of your life, because it is poison, spiritual poison, which will stop the flow of faith in your life. Now, Galatians 5 verse 6 is a very important one, particularly the last part here. Galatians 5 verse 6, very important for one for us to understand about how faith works. Galatians 5, 6, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. So what's going to avail, get your prayers answered, and so on? What's going to avail in your Christian walk? What's going to succeed? Faith, because faith pleases God. Faith which worketh by love. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13 about charity, which is love in action, you see it goes through some of the barriers there. It says if you don't have charity, you could have the gift of faith in operation and move mountains, but it means nothing. It amounts to nothing. Okay? this is so very important, and there's many testimonies of people who have been healed when they have got this out of their life. When they've dealt with it, they know that they've kept something against someone, they know they've done it, and they've harboured unforgiveness and bitterness, they've not acted in love. You have to get it cleared out. You know the great clearing out process? It's called repentance. Repentance means you turn away from all of that junk and you turn to the Lord. Okay, remember, we want to go toward the living God, not away from Him. We want there not to be any barriers between us and God. Now, I understand that this teaching is certainly fairly rare, unfortunately, but it needs to be preached, it needs to be taught. People need to grow in understanding of healing. When I was first born again, decades ago now, 40 years ago, I didn't understand everything. What has happened? Well, we allow the Word of God to cause us to grow in understanding. Glory to God. And it's with every one of us. Let's have a look at... we'll go through one more barrier. Barrier 3. Not understanding or being open to proper doctrine on biblical healing and health. This is a big one. You know, I've been in churches which claim to be Pentecostal, and yet you hardly heard anything preached about healing. In their belief statement, it'll say, we believe that God is the healer and that He heals. But then month after month after month after month after month, you hardly heard anything preached about healing. And yet, as you know, if you've sat in this church, there's tons of scriptures about healing and health and strength and victory and salvation and so on. So, what's the problem here? Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, that scripture is profitable for doctrine and for other things, but for doctrine. And if you're not word-based, you're not going to get that profiting from that doctrine, are you? You're not going to be able to get that doctrine from the scripture. So you have to have it preached. You have to have it taught. You have to have an understanding heart. Have a look at Mark 1. So we're looking at this third barrier, Mark 1. Now, you would approach the Word of God in belief, as I've said, in belief, and you would say, well, the Word of God, the Holy Bible, must be believed. And I choose to believe it. And I'm approaching the Word, when it's preached, when it's taught, I'm approaching it in a believing way. I'm not going to just let it go in one ear and out the other. I want to learn. I want to learn how to live for God. I want to learn about faith. I want to learn about God's mercy, His healing, His strength, and what He wants for me. I want to learn about it, and I want it in operation in my life. And if you've got that desire, if you've got that yearning to eat the Word spiritually, you're going to get that hunger, okay? That hunger to eat the Word of God spiritually, if you've got that, and you keep it before your eyes, and you keep it in your ears, there's going to be that opening of things to you. Mark 1, 38 to 42. 38 to 42. Let's read it. And he said unto them, let us go into, this is talking about Jesus, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. Once again, was Jesus a preacher? Yes, he was. Was he a teacher? Yes, he was. What was he preaching and teaching? The Word of God. Okay? Why? Because he wanted faith in the people. He wanted people to believe. that I may preach there also. Therefore came I forth, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, what's compassion? It's love. Love that has come out of his spirit. Okay? How is he moved? Moved with compassion. You see, we can be moved with compassion. Put forth his hand and touched him. He touched a leper. Okay? Understand that. He touched a leper. Touched a leper. A leper is one whose flesh is rotting. It was a terrible disease. Okay. Put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. This should settle the matter in your heart, whether it's the will of God for you to be healed and clean and strong. It is. It is. It's the will of God for all of God's people to be healed and strong and clean. Okay? It's the will of God. So you've got to have the proper doctrine on biblical healing and health. You can't say, well, sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. What's the solution? If there are areas you don't understand, as I said before, there are many resources to get your knowledge level up, to get your understanding up. And if you expose yourself to the Word and expose yourself to proper doctrine about it, you will grow in your knowledge and you will know what to do. It'll just come out of you. It'll just come out of you because you've been investing it, you've been putting time and effort into putting it into your heart. And the Word is life and health to all your flesh because you're approaching it in a believing way. I will be thou clean. God's will is for you to be healed. That's a good start in the doctrine on biblical healing and health. Have a look at Acts 28, verse 27. So this barrier is not understanding or being open to proper doctrine on biblical healing and health. Acts 28, verse 27. 28, verse 27. Now, this is a revealing scripture. It says, for the heart of this people is waxed gross. Okay. Talks about filth and things and barriers in there. And their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted. In this case, it's talking about being changed in your heart. And I should heal them. Can you see? Can you see? God wants us to understand with our heart. But there are people all over the body of Christ who have very little understanding of the doctrine of healing and health. And effectively, they've closed their eyes and close their ears and they're dull of hearing. Why? Well, as I said before, if you put yourself in an environment of belief, what do you think you're going to get? You're going to get faith and belief arising within you. But what happens if you put yourself in an environment of unbelief? What are you going to get? You're going to get doubt and lack of faith. And you're going to have the wrong way of thinking about things. Very important for us to understand this. And I want to close with this scripture in Matthew 22, verse 29. Matthew 22, 29. God is at work. God is at work in our lives, in our church. Believe this. Matthew 22, 29. I would not preach the word unless I believed it. You know that? I'm not interested just to hear my voice and the way it sounds. Okay? I know God's given me a gift and He's given you gifts too. What I am interested in, and all ministers of God are interested in, is that people take the truth is in them, and they walk in the truth. And look at Matthew 22, verse 29. 22, 29. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. How do people err? How do they get into error? Not knowing the scriptures. Not knowing the scriptures. How do people get into error about the doctrine of healing and health? Not knowing the scriptures. I mean, what I've gone through tonight is really clear. Really clear. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Okay? He healeth all our diseases. By the stripes of Jesus, by whose stripes ye were healed. And etc., etc. I will, be thou clean. Etc., etc. We could go on and on and on. God is wanting to heal His people. His people have to be open to this. We've gone through some barriers tonight. There's other barriers I could go through. But I'm going to leave it to another time. Barrier four, sight focus rather than faith and word focused. And number five, lack of patience or persistence. But I'm sure you'll get to hear those. And as we hear the word of God, we start to understand more and more and put it into place in our lives.